Hello, reader. You're plugged in to another episode of PageCast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to PageCast. In this episode, I'm Yuta Romanis, your host, and I'm chatting to no stranger to PageCast, the one and only Joe Watson. So, Joe, something I really love about you is how relatable you are. You just say things exactly as they are, and in your books, it reflects because it makes you feel like, you know what, this could kind of actually happen to me. And those inner thoughts of like the worst thing could possibly go wrong, and I'm like, yeah. I mean, let's laugh about it. It happened in Joe's book. And now you've released your new book called The X Effect. So I just want to say congratulations on that. And I'm so excited to also just really get into it. But before we do, one thing I'd love to know, though, have you received any unexpected reaction from a reader after they finished The X Effect?
I don't know. I mean, I think what happened quite... Look, okay. So... not necessarily an unexpected thing, because I kind of was expecting it. But there's one scene specifically in the book, and it's about a dolphin. And a kind of a dolphin emoji response kind of has spread through the readers. So whenever I get a comment from readers, they put a dolphin emoji at the end of the comments. So that's kind of become like the trend for this book. So I was sort of expecting people to enjoy that scene. But I sort of wasn't expecting a dolphin emoji to kind of emerge as an answer to just general discussion about the book, like dolphin emoji. Yeah.
Can I say that when I got to that part of the book, I actually burst out laughing because I'm like, now I finally get it, because everyone just uses the dolphin and you're like, where is this actually going to happen? You kind of have an idea. And when you get to the point, then you realize like, oh, it's not what I actually thought it would be. And it's priceless.
It's not a real dolphin.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
But it's definitely pink.
It's definitely pink. You do actually get pink dolphins, by the way, in the Amazon, bizarrely enough. But this one's more of a shocking pink.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a shocking pink dolphin. Yes.
That one could travel with.
One can travel with this dolphin. Absolutely. It's very convenient. You can pop it in a suitcase. You know, I've seen, actually, I don't know, I've seen very funny videos of people who've popped it in their hand luggage and then gone traveling with such things. And then, you know, it sets off alarms. And then people, I don't know if you've seen those videos, security guards take dolphins and rabbits and all sorts of animals out of ladies.
I've heard of a story where a bag just dropped and then suddenly a noise was coming from it. And it wasn't what the person said it was. And obviously everyone else around them, they were judging it so hard because they're like, it sounds like it's something like that.
Yes. And when they make a noise, they make a noise.
And then you're so embarrassed because what can you do?
Nothing. You've actually just got to embrace it. You've got to just pick it up and go, yes, I know, I've got one. Deal with it and pop it back in the bag and turn it off.
So the pink dolphin scene is pretty iconic. The X Effect overall is just really charming as well. It's so awkward. It's embarrassing moments. It's serious, but it's also not so serious. Like, it's so real. Without giving too much away, and I know it's also hard, but could you just share a little bit more about what the X Effect is all about? Just for those who haven't read the book yet.
Well, so it is a second chance romance. It's my first second chance romance. I'll go into a little bit of detail, right? There's a fine line between spoilers and whatevers, right? Oh, no, I can't, because that's the major spoiler. No, I can't, because there's a major thing that happens. And if I say that, that's a super spoiler. So I'll just say... we'll go with this. It's about a girl called Ash who has very, very bad sex once upon a time. And she believes she's sexually cursed because from that moment of bad sex, everything goes pear-shaped. She has the worst sex imaginable. In fact, it's so bad that before it even gets to the sex part, it's horrific. Like she lands in an ER, you know, it's really, she's sexually cursed. And it all, in her opinion, comes from this terrible, awful experience she had when she was younger. And then later on in the book, she becomes unsexually cursed and starts having good sex. That's basically all I'm going to say, because if I go into too much detail, I'm going to give away a major spoiler. But let's just say that. So it's about having bad sex and then having good sex, basically. It's very deep. It's very profound. It should win the Pulitzer. That's what I'm expecting anyway, since it does have such depth to it.
I love it. You're just saying it should win, like speak it into
you. Yeah, no, because, you know, it's just the gravity of this, you know, literary fiction that I've written, you know, about bad sex and then good sex.
Yeah.
You know, there are lessons to be learned in
it's
that.
It's a book worth reading.
It is. It is.
I definitely didn't expect it. I mean, it starts with unforgettable bad sex story.
You know what? I wanted to write so badly. This is how this book came about. You know, in romance books, people just have this amazing sex. Mm. And they have like 10,000 orgasms, etc. Okay. I was like, I really want to write bad sex. I want to write the world's worst sex. And I told my agent, I want to write a book with bad sex. And she said, that's not really going to work. It's not really going to work. So I had to figure out a way of, you know, making it work, which I did. But the idea for the book basically just started, like, I want to write the world's worst sex scene. I want it to be so bad that it's such bad sex that this person is just sexually cursed for, like, you know, in,
like, you know, 13 years.
Yeah, shame. For 13 years. It's not a small curse. It's a long curse, you know.
Which is pretty much insane because she's convinced about it.
Well, could it be? It could be. It could be. I mean, you know, who knows if these things exist.
But, you know, the cool thing about it is, yes, it's like really bad sex. And, I mean, it starts the moment you open the book. But I like how you also, it's something, you know, bad sex is something nobody wants to have, right? It's something you feel insecure about. It's embarrassing. But somehow you've just really turned it into the heart of like a rom-com.
Mm-hmm. But let's be honest, you know, the first time one gets out and about there, you know, you're trying to ride the horse and you're going to fall off inevitably in the beginning because it's not going to be good. I challenge anyone to drop a comment. Where's this podcast going to go?
Where's the page first?
On all sorts of things. Drop a comment and tell me whether your first time was good. I'm telling you it was not. And if you say it was, you know, I'll argue with you.
So even on this note, if you had to give advice to someone who believes that they're also cursed, like it's really bad, and what advice would you give them?
What if it's really bad?
Yeah, and they believe that they also have their own sex curse, like
Sangoma, maybe, you know, a psychic, a sage smudging stick. Don't people do that with the sage? I don't know. See if you can tackle it from a supernatural perspective, maybe. I don't know. She tried to, so.
Yeah, she really did try to do absolutely everything.
But the curse actually turns out to be something else with slightly more meaning than what it is.
It's a very layered book.
Not really, but thanks. It is. It's got some layers. It's got some layers.
And a very interesting WhatsApp group.
It's got a very interesting WhatsApp group. I like the WhatsApp group. Yeah, she's got a friend's WhatsApp group, and they're just oversharers. Like, they really overshare, which is great. I like friends that overshare.
Me too.
Mm.
Because that's when you really get the real opinions. But then it becomes a bit too much at the times, and you're like, I don't need this opinion now.
Or when you need something serious, and they all just turn it into a joke.
But that's what friends are for. Mm-hmm. So just bringing it to the book itself, you know, we've spoken a little bit about Ash and how she's got, and she believes that she's cursed. But then there's this really other main character in the book called Max.
Mm-hmm.
How did you go about really writing his story? Because when Max appears, you know, he's the strong, confident sex god.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So again, I just thought it would be funny. I don't know why. I just thought it would be funny if there was this guy and these rumors sort of, you know, precede him. So everywhere he goes, like I sort of imagined it like this, like he walks through a room and women just whisper and go, oh my God, he's the guy that does that. You know, I heard that he was with my friend and, you know, she passed out after sex with him. So I kind of, I like this idea that this guy would like walk into a room and like the whole room would explode because someone had heard a story about this guy who was actually just like a sex god, you know. So obviously bad sex, sex god, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen, right? I don't have to like, you know, it's a romance. I don't have to kind of point out what's going to happen there. But I just thought it was really fun if you had this guy that was just so like good at sex that it was like known. And he lives in Cape Town. Because it's I always mostly set my books around here, and like it's known in Cape Town in the circles, like everyone talks about it, like everywhere you go someone has heard of this guy, like a friend of a friend of a friend has dated him, or you know, someone's heard a rumor. So he can't go anywhere without like these rumors surrounding him,
and the rumors get more and more intense.
The rumors are elaborate. They are very, 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 very elaborate rumors.
To the point that even the WhatsApp group starts to debunk what is real and what is not. Like,
correct.
Did he actually have this? Is this really there?
Yes.
I think it adds so much humor.
And I think it is. I think he is that good. I think. Well, I try to write him that good, I guess. I mean, the one rumor was that he made someone come just by looking at them.
Yeah. Which is like quite a deadly stare.
Yeah, no, I thought that was like, I like to take things very far in my books. I like it to be very over the top.
Yeah.
So I thought that was funny, you know, like, can he, who knows?
So even with Max being this ultimate sex god that, you know, everyone really is like yearning to get with, or if they know a friend, like share all of these details, did that just come about from a personal experience or just from stories that you've heard in the past?
What came from personal experience?
Yeah, like the whole Max.
No, I've never had an orgasm just by being looked at from across the room. You know what? Like, all my characters have some of me in, and I think all my characters have some of other people around them. But it was just like a conglomeration of the most over-the-top things I could think of.
Hmm.
Like, I made him like a typical romance character. Like, he is just so hot. He is just so good. You know, just all these sort of, you know, he's like the typical, almost cliched. There is depth to him. There is something else to him. But I just wanted to make him like the most cliched, hot romance dude.
And
you know, who's perfect for breaking a curse of sorts, you know?
He's the ultimate solution.
He's the ultimate curse breaker.
So even with Ash and Max as the book progresses, something that really stood out for me in the book itself was the forced proximity. Because you mentioned even earlier now, like, you write books, it's based in Cape Town, South Africa. And it's so cool because if you've never been, you're going to Google some of the places and you're like, wow, these characters are really just living the most amazing life. And given both Max and Ash's professions, because they work in quite a similar industry, they're going on all these cool trips. I mean, we're going to Lake Malawi, we're going to the Chobe River, there's a houseboat.
Mm.
A lot of forced proximity. It's making things a little bit more awkward. Did you do this just to add more sexual tension?
Of course. No, I love forced proximity. It's one of my favorite tropes. And especially when accompanied with enemies to lovers. I think enemies to lovers and forced proximity, fake dating as well. You marry those three tropes, it's like a winner. I love forced proximity. You know, shove characters in one bed, I'm down for it. Shove characters who hate each other into one bed, that's fantastic. You know?
So what was your favorite scene to write?
I think the dolphin scene. I did laugh out loud, yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of laugh out loud moments in the book.
Every now and again, I do amuse myself and laugh out loud. This book I laughed out loud when I wrote, and Love You Not, I laughed out loud when I wrote. That book, actually, in some moments, I was hysterical. Like, it was quite embarrassing. You know, when you're actually hysterical.
Yeah.
And I thought, this must be narcissistic or something, that I'm finding myself so amusing. But I was.
I think when I was reading it, I just kind of had those moments so often, because it's as if one embarrassing moment takes place, mm-hmm. and then something even worse happens, because mm-hmm. whenever Ash decides to finally make a decision, because she's back and forth quite a mm-hmm. lot, she's very much in denial, we're leaning on our friends group here, like, oh my gosh, this just happened, I can't believe it, this is my life, I absolutely hate it, what am I going to do? She's shy, she doesn't really know how to go about it, and then she builds up all of this inside her mind, and she's like, okay, I'm going to do it, mm-hmm. let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
She makes her way, and then boom, mm-hmm. something happens. Like a snake bite, for me, was just so bizarre.
Yeah, but actually, you say that's bizarre, but you know how many people I know have been bitten by snakes? It's really weird. Anyway, that's just a side note. My best friend got bitten by a snake. It was a very traumatic experience because we didn't know what snake it was. And, I thought he was going to die. But I love to think of whenever I write a scene, because it's a romantic comedy and it's over the top, I always ask myself, like, what is the worst thing that could happen to this character in the moment? Like, what is the worst thing? What is the most ridiculous thing I can make happen to this person? And I think, you know, running down a path in a game lodge, you've decided you're going to have sex with someone and you get bitten by a snake. I think that's pretty good. I think that's quite a good thing to happen to someone.
The allergic reaction potentially as well to a condom was also
that
I did not expect. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, I those tingling condoms. I'm sure there are women out there that, I mean, if something was minty and tingly, personally, I would not allow it near any part of myself,
mm-hmm.
personally. And yet there are tingly ones.
And Ash is such an overthinker. She's quirky.
She's like me. Yeah.
Thinking whenever these things happen, she's like, okay, you know what? Maybe this is not a good idea. I've got to stay away from this guy.
Mm-hmm,
Bad
mm-hmm.
news.
Well, she knows. She does know. She knows deep down inside, but, you know, she needs to, you know, she needs to get going with him.
And, I mean,
because if she knew, yeah, if she knew and she stopped herself, there would be no book. She needs to know and then she needs to do it.
I mean, we're all curious at some point, and then it's like, do you give into the curiosity and see for yourself? So just leading up to this, I mean, you know, she's got 13 years of bad sex. She believes that she's cursed. Her friends give her recommendation. She does go and see someone at the very beginning. The book unravels as it does without really trying to give any spoilers away. How did you eventually kind of write the part where Max provides this assistance to really move past the sex myth and just kind of actually continue with her life?
Say that again. What do you mean exactly?
Like, obviously, you know, she's been cursed.
Yes.
And Max is a very fundamental part of the book.
Yes.
I don't want to give away too many spoilers.
It's so hard to describe.
It is hard. Yeah, you're right, actually.
Yeah. Yes.
And then, you know, as the book progresses, we're nearing somewhere after the middle.
Okay, yes.
He's really just kind of trying to help, and he's being there. Like, how do you get her to move past? It's like Max basically rewrites Ash's story in a way.
So actually, that was quite difficult, I must say, because I had to constantly keep track of the, because she was always going, like you said, in and out. She was like, I am, I'm not, I am, I'm not. And Max was in from the word go. Like, he was like, I am, if you will, I shall.
You know,
yeah. So it was actually keeping track of that was quite hard. Keeping track of when she was in, when she was out, and when he was going to kind of, you know, go with her on the out and ins. And, you know, we're speaking in all sorts of euphemisms here as well, I feel, you know. It was actually quite hard to track that. But, you know, the thing is, Max has feelings. Max has deep feelings. And he makes it quite obvious from the get-go.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of along for the ride, waiting for her to kind of catch up to him and waiting for her to kind of realize, you know, where this is going. So he's not all just shallow and whatnot, you know. He has feelings. The guy's got feelings.
He's got his own issues to deal with.
He
does.
Well. And I do like, I do love writing a he falls first. Because I think in so many romances, it's always about she falls first. She's like all like goo-goo eyed for him. She like wants him so badly. I really like writing he falls first.
But they always say the guy needs to be more in love with you. That's usually how it goes.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, they do. Because, you know, if the guy's more in love with you, then he's there to stay.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And then also just building on that, they'd love to also add that, I mean, if the guy knows what he wants and he wants it, he's going to go for it.
Yeah.
And I think that's Max.
Max.
And all. Now, something else, Joan, that I was also kind of curious about is that it's so hard to describe this because, you know, you don't want to give spoilers away, especially to those that haven't read the book. And it's quite humorous just reading it because I'm paging and you're like, whoa, this was reading like a movie. The delusional rom-com life that you kind of always fantasize about and you're thinking, oh, you know, this is going to happen. This may not happen. But with the characters in itself, how do you kind of, did you struggle writing them? Because there's always like this idea of who this person is versus how this person sees someone now. Like, how did you navigate that?
I actually find it really easy to write people. I don't know. I don't know if it's from writing on soapies that you're always writing so many people. So when I used to write soap opera and soapies and stuff, you know, you get a script and you've got to just write all these different people. And you've kind of got to always remember where those people are emotionally. You've got to kind of remember this person has this quirk, this one does this, this one does the next thing. So I find writing characters quite easy. I think it's just because I've been in charge, I'm using inverted commas, of lots of different characters all at once. So you always have to like keep a vibe on where they are and what their things are. So I don't know, I've never really struggled writing characters. But then again, you know, my characters are not like, they you know, and I'm not saying they're all shallow, okay, but I'm not doing like a massive character exploration here. You know, in romance, one relies on stereotypes and one relies on tropes. So yes, that, you know, characters of depth, there is nuance and stuff, but it's certainly not like a book that explores like the depths of a person's character. You rely on stereotypes a lot when you write romance. That's why I think some people maybe don't like it. You know, they find it cliched or whatever, but that's the nature of romance. You know what you're getting, and that's what it's all about. You pick up a book, you know you're going to get a happy ending, and you're along for that ride of the happy ending. You know, I think that's what people love about romance. The romance girlies,
yeah,
that's what they want, and they're going to go along on the ride to get that.
No, you gave the romance girlies their spicy book. There was a part somewhere during the book where I actually kind of felt like my heart broke because of a certain line, the way that Max narrates it. Because when you read the book, especially when you're starting, you know, the books alternate. So there's Max's chapter, there's Ashley's chapter, and it's cool because now you really get inside their heads. If something traumatic or embarrassing happens, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, she's doing this because of this reason, or like, this is probably what he thinks. There are those awkward gazes and the embarrassing moments, which I find to be amazing. So I like the whole alternating, being in each other's minds, but at the same time, still with that whole concept of, she doesn't know what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
Can she? Should she? Should she not? And that's why I just found it interesting, because Max is such a big part of the book. He's like the missing puzzle piece, to put it that way.
I think he is. You know, exactly, without giving away the big thing, there is a reason she's cursed, and it's not for the reason we think it is. And he helps her discover that, and he lands up being the little missing thing that's mm-hmm. been there all along.
I think the missing puzzle piece is the best thing. It's like puzzle pieces of trying to figure out, why am I so cursed? How can I fix this? Nothing is working out. And then just as life works unexpectedly, the person you didn't really see coming kind of just comes into play. And I love also how the different characters interact with him, especially Sarah and Ash, because yeah, I just feel like I can't add on to that any further because it would be a dead giveaway.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you see, this is the thing with this book, because there is like a thing, guys. There's a thing that I try and hide from you from the beginning. And some people were actually surprised by it, by the way.
I didn't see it coming.
Didn't you? I'm so glad. I'm so glad, because I wanted that to be the case. And I thought everyone's gonna know. I thought, no, they're gonna pick up on this. So I'm so glad I was able to deceive you.
Yeah.
Which makes talking about the book quite hard because, you know, of this. But I loved writing the friend group. Mm. You know, the friend group was super fun. And that WhatsApp friend group chat that kind of goes throughout the book, that's Ash's way of like, you know, touching in and going, you know, hey guys, you know, help, this has happened or whatever. I think, yeah, that was actually really fun. And weirdly enough, my editor, I didn't have any scenes with any of the friends. And my editor like fell in love with the friend group. And she was like, please, 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 can we meet them in real life? Please put them in scenes together.
Yeah.
So then I kind of had to go back and rewrite stuff and actually make the friend group come alive outside of a WhatsApp chat.
I think you did it well.
Thank you. It was actually fun. It was a really good suggestion. Sometimes editors come along, most times actually, an editor comes along with a suggestion that makes your book better. It's very seldom that I've had a suggestion that I thought,
I know that you wrote this book in like, what, 12 days?
Oh my God. Yeah. When I say that though, I need people, because I keep saying that and I think people are going to think it's terrible. But when I say I wrote it in 12 days, trust me, it was edited very, 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 very well. Because I can guarantee you at the end of the 12 days, it wasn't in the best condition. However, having said that though, I do think it's great just to get words on a page.
Yeah.
You have words on a page and you can work with it from there and you can edit from there. So, you know, just because it was written in 12 days, you know, it doesn't mean it's, you know, it's like it was written in 12 days.
Inspiration was just flowing.
It flowed. I've never written so many words in one day, actually. I think this one holds the record. I think I got up to like 17,000 words one day. I do think this one holds the record for the most words written in a day.
I think the book in itself is very iconic. It's giving main character a little bit of delusion. So Joe, the last thing I would love to know is, I know that you've got a film background. And like reading The X Effect is like reading a book. I love to believe that I live my own personal rom-com. And I think anyone who picks up the book will feel exactly like that. They'll transport it. Maybe they have a specific person in mind. And maybe they're also tackling with their own sex curse. But I'm not sure if you've given it thought. Have you kind of pictured maybe if your book ever got adapted into a movie, who your dream cast would be for like Ash and Max? You know, people have asked, oh my God, I got asked on live radio that question once. And I'm so bad with actors and stuff that like on radio, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you've asked me this question because I can't think of a single actor. But let me just put who's like the hottest actor, hot dude? Who's a hot dude actor?
The hot dude. Oh my word.
Who's like super hot these days?
I almost want to say Justin Baldoni, but we can't.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he's Justin Baldoni. Let's make him Justin Baldoni.
He's been hot since.
Yeah,
since
let's do Justin Baldoni. Series. And also Team Justin. Team Justin all the way. I'm obsessed with that. Yes, I agree. Let's make him Justin Baldoni and let us not make her Blake Lively. I think we can say who not to make her immediately. Who's like cool, spunky, fun kind of actress who's like not totally conventionally beautiful, but like really pretty. Like who's cool? Can we just cast this together? Because I'm really bad at this.
I even want to say Sabrina Carpenter, just because, you know, she's had an acting past, kind of want to see her. She seems like she has a quirky, embarrassing moments, but she plays it off well with her little lines.
She would have to chop her hair.
Yeah.
She would need to chop her hair all off. So if Sabrina Carpenter is willing to chop her hair all off, we can consider her. But she could wear a wig.
And you do have a second lead as an option for a guy, because I don't know if you've watched The Kissing Booth, but I think in two or three, then Taylor, I think his name's Taylor Zakwa or something, comes into play. And then everyone was like, oh, forget about all the other characters we're watching this for Taylor.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Twilight when the werewolf grew muscles. Yeah. Everyone started being like, werewolf with muscles or pale vampire. Yes. Yeah.
I love that. Okay, well, I guess we can think about more characters for suggestions. But if you haven't read The X Effect yet, I highly recommend bumping it to the top of your TBR and just actually going to the bookstores to go and get it, because it's such a humorous read. It's second chances. I can tell you that awkward moments get more awkward, very embarrassing. But there's also that fine balance between fun and also that emotional depth. Many laugh at live moments, and the pink dolphin scene, once you get it, I don't think you'll ever forget it. So well done, Joe, just on this book.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That was fun.
Yes, it was. Thank you for sharing your insights and just getting into the book and everything in between.
Thank you for having me.
You have to go and buy The X Effect by Joe Watson. It is one of the most humorous reads for 2025. And I think it's giving main character some rom-com delusion. And it's definitely not what you think. Also, not your cliche rom-com. So please go and buy it and read it and you'll see what I mean. And we are so here for Team Dolphin Scene.
Thank you for listening to this episode of PageCast, brought to you by Jonathan Ball Publishers. Did you love what you heard? Don't just stop at the stories. Buy the books. Visit your favorite bookstore to grab your next read. And remember to subscribe, share, and join us again next week for more fascinating conversations. Until then, happy reading.